Hello and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast, episode 20. 20. Some sort of milestone, I guess?
It's been a long time coming, I guess.
Yes, and well, we're back, and I'm recording with my new computer, so hopefully it's working out a little better. We have some very interesting topics for you today. They technically still sort of involve technology. Well, two of them at least. I wouldn't say it's political so much, but it's a social commentary. Because topic one is ban SUVs, not smoking. In many communities around America and states, because it's usually a state or community thing, not a federal level, the big rush is to ban smoking, get it out of the bars, you know, because bars are so healthy for you otherwise. And it's the big thing, you know, or put people in little bomb shelters out, you know, in the parks. You ever see those? Or they have like this bomb shelter. So, you know, the governments, local governments, are telling you what you can and cannot do, and you're saying you cannot enjoy this.
And telling business owners what they can and cannot do.
On their own private property.
Yes.
Yet, millions of Americans apparently have the right to drive around in enormous tanks, which adversely affect the cost of gas. I mean, you know, we can have, you know, war in the Mideast, refinery problems, any political things you might believe in.
Environmental issues,
right.
Whatever.
But when you've got every other car on the road, okay, I know it's not that many. It's like a suburban assault vehicle. That affects a lot.
It's something like around 30% of vehicles on the road are SUVs.
And then they get like probably, half the mileage?
Pretty much.
So that's a big chunk. I mean, that could knock a dollar off the price right there. So we're going to talk about that. We're not advocating the banning or promotion of either, at least publicly, but we're going to draw parallels between them and why, you know, some things are okay for governments to apparently monitor and some things apparently are not okay.
Yeah.
Second topic is kind of a segue of that. Alternative fuels of the future. This is actually something I think about quite a bit, even though I never talk about it usually on the air. And we're just going to go from the car thing to fuels of the future that might be interesting, and then Jones and I will probably get in a big argument about E85 and food prices. And the final topic, you've heard of him several times before on this podcast. Now we are going to interview him. Joe Sixpack will be coming on to tell us his layman's view on technology and gaming, and we're going to ask him why he calls controllers paddles. All right, okay, so any news stories this week, Jones, in gaming?
Probably the biggest news story that happened, I would think, in the last week or two is the fact that I believe it was sometime on Thursday, Microsoft started dropping the ban hammer, as I guess it's referred to online, on people who use modded Xbox 360s to play copied or burned games. And before, this was considered to be, like, undetectable, and people could take a burned copy of a game and go out on Xbox Live and play the game just like they owned it. And so Microsoft apparently has had enough of this and decided to start banning people. Although, interestingly enough, the method they chose was to just make it so that that particular console can no longer go online. They didn't brick the system, and they didn't ban the person's gamer tag. So basically they made it so that a person could go out and buy another Xbox 360, take their hard drive or memory card or what have you, plunk it into the new 360, and they'd be able to go online just like nothing ever happened.
Kind of like Surf Pro, like nothing ever happened.
Yeah.
It's a commercial. So what you're getting at is it's a sneaky way to sell more Xboxes?
That's pretty much, because Microsoft, of course, is taking the high road and saying, well, we're against piracy and all that, which, yeah, we know that all software manufacturers and whatever are against piracy, and that's all well and good. But the way they did it isn't really stopping piracy, because they didn't brick the console, they didn't, like, make it so it can't still play these burned games, you just can't play them online. So these people can still hang on to their 360s. And a lot of people, you know, don't want to play games online, and so they can just sit there and play burned games forever and pirate them for as long as the 360 exists.
They're kind of, like, penalizing them, so to speak, but not, like, chopping their heads off.
They're not chopping their heads off, yeah. So, and I think it's, you know, nicely timed with the Elite just came out a few weeks ago, and like the Halo 3 multiplayer beta just came out. You know, so they kind of went for the highest impact time they could, I think, to cut live off from people was the idea. And then this way maybe they can put more elites in people's homes, although from what I've seen you can't find them anywhere. But even so, they can sell a whole shitload of core systems now, because the people that had premium units with hard drives...
They can just get the core, and they'll have the headset and the component cables.
Yep, and they'll have the hard drive, which they can just take out of their Band 360 premium and dump it into their core system.
Maybe it's like, away they go. I know how we can move the core 360 stock.
Yeah, so... Very interesting development, but...
Well, you don't think any of it has to do with them trying to protect their and their publisher's intellectual property? You don't think that came into play at all?
Oh, I think it came into play. I think it'd be interesting to see what their decision-making process was overall, because when you get down into the numbers, you know, I have no clue how many people have modded 360s out there, but I mean, even if you said, like, they say there's, like, 6 million people on Xbox Live or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, say... And this is probably a high number, but let's say, you know, 10% of those people had modded 360s.
And that's 600,000.
Yep, that's 600,000 units. And then you could say, well, let's say half of those people actually went on Xbox Live, had a gold membership and everything. Well, that's $15 million right there that they just threw away on top of whatever downloadable content those people might have bought online, Xbox Live arcade games, whatever. So, I mean, there's a good chunk of money there. I don't know what that dollar amount is, and I'm sure they, you know, analyzed it all to whatever extent, but it'll be interesting to see what the fallout is from it, because, like, I've been reading on forums and stuff, and there's some people who claim that they never modded their system, they got banned, and in most instances, it seems like these people more than likely bought their 360 secondhand at, like, a, you know, GameStop or whatever, where somebody had traded it in. So maybe that person who traded it in modded it, then went and dumped it on GameStop. Then, you know, this mom comes in and buys her kid a used 360 because she can get it $100 cheaper or whatever, takes it home, her kid gets banned, and she had no clue the thing was ever modded. The kid never had any clue. So I'm really curious to see what the fallout's going to be, because I have a feeling...
Well, people could start dumping them on GameStop, too.
And eBay, and everything else, too. And
kind of like lemon cars.
Yeah.
You know, Chevys?
Ugh. Shit. That was 20 years ago.
I know.
But yeah, so I mean, it'll be interesting to see over the next month or two what the fallout is, and I could see where at some point it could turn into a big PR problem for Microsoft if that escalates at any...
Especially point. With, you know, competition that they're trying to beat.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, look at the PS3. I mean, duplicating Blu-rays probably isn't exactly very easy at this point.
No. But a lot of people that might have had their 360s modded, you know, like I saw in a lot of the forums where a lot of people were like, well, screw this, you know, I'm going to go buy a PS3 now. And as illogical as that is, because it's like, well, okay, you're going to have to go buy a PS3 and you're going to have to buy games for it. Just like you would with 360,
mm-hmm.
You know, but a lot of people will have that sort of, you know, knee-jerk reaction. So in the next couple of months, it'll probably be kind of interesting to analyze the sales figures for those two systems. And, you know, heaven forbid, maybe one or two of those people would go and buy a Wii, but I would doubt it. So,
well, you know, that's where the Nintendo people say all the PS2 sales were like five people bought one and then had to buy a new console like every 5 months because it broke.
Yeah, I don't buy that either.
It's conceivable that some people might have bought multiple copies. The same thing with the Nintendo Game Boy. I myself have bought probably at least brand new, like, four Game Boys in my life.
And that's, like, including Game Boy, Game Boy Advance, all that, right?
Right, so it's just like people wanting to sell you the same thing twice. It goes for consoles, too, mm-hmm. Not just, you know, virtual console games, like on the Wii, you know.
Yeah.
How many times can you buy Mario, for the Nintendo?
Yeah.
Well, we'll to see what happens with that news development.
Yes.
So, any other news items for gaming? Or
I don't think there's been much else. That was kind of the big thing that happened last week, and
okay,
nothing too significant otherwise. I guess StarCraft 2 got announced, but I never played the original StarCraft, but I guess it's something for people to get excited about. So, anybody who likes StarCraft out there and didn't know that...
Isn't that an old, old game?
Yeah, I think it's like from 7-8 years ago. Because I thought I was like in college when that came out. So it's kind of interesting that they're, you know, choosing to reboot it now. Maybe they're taking the Hollywood mentality now and they're going to...
StarCraft, you know, Begins?
Wait a decade and then, oh, we're going to reboot this franchise. Or if it's the Hulk, wait like 5 years, but, you know.
Yeah, didn't they, like, start that game and then cancel it, or am I thinking of another game?
I don't know. I guess I don't know much about its development hell
okay, then.
Or life, but... So that's out there, too.
All right, well, shall we move into our first topic?
Sure.
All right, topic number one is ban SUVs, not cigarettes. Yeah.
It's a catchy title.
Yeah, it's supposed to inflame passions, I guess you could say.
Yes.
Well, I think we should qualify ourselves first. I like to occasionally smoke cigars. So there's me and Jones. I don't believe you smoke at all.
No.
Right?
The only time I ever smoked in my life was in Port Washington.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because I insisted my character smoke a cigar.
Oh, but now, you know, that could get us an R rating.
Yeah, I know.
You know, you could kill a bunch of people and whatever in PG-13, but don't smoke. That'll get you an R.
Yeah, it's just like if you drop the F-bomb a couple times, you're going to get an R. But, you know, you can kill a whole hell of a lot of people as long as there's no blood.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. Way
or
to go,
sex.
MPAA. Yeah, no sex.
No smoking.
Nothing natural here. We just want violence. That's it. So
you can kill everybody, just don't smoke. Well, that's a little off topic, but...
If you want more of that, you know, you can check out the last A Fistful of Review podcast, because we... took the MPAA to task in that one. There's my shameless plug.
Yes, that's afistfulofreviews.com. Fistful has one L in it, if you can believe that.
Yes, just like the old Eastwood Fistful of a Dollars movie, so...
Yep. Okay, anyway, so smoking has been incredibly vilified lately, and it's getting to be that, you know, you can't smoke in... most larger cities, you can't smoke anywhere, any sort of establishments at least. Here in Madison just recently passed a smoking ban.
And I know the governor, our wonderful Governor Doyle now, is pushing to ban it statewide, I guess.
Oh, that's nice.
I've been hearing that lately.
Because heaven forbid you let local governments make their own choice.
Yes, or business owners.
Yes, here's what you can and cannot do on your own property.
Yes, now pay us taxes immediately.
Yes. So, yeah. So, that's something now, you know, with something like smoking, you can say, okay, it's bad for you. Yes. It affects others. Secondhand smoke, I guess, is supposed to be bad.
I would agree.
I guess if you don't like smoke, secondhand smoke is a problem. I mean, I don't mind it myself.
I lived in a house with a smoker, and then my brother was a smoker, too, and... there's definitely a difference between living in a house where there's no smoke and when there's a house with smoke. And I had quite a few health problems when I was younger.
Oh,
actually,
really?
And it was directly related to the smoking. So I can agree that it's bad for you, but...
Okay. Right.
But...
Hope we don't podcast ourselves into a corner.
No, but that doesn't mean that governments can go around, you know, saying this bar owner can't... let people smoke in his establishment.
Right. I mean, I like to smoke on the back porch, but I also like to go down to the bowling alley and smoke.
Pretty soon you won't be able to do that anymore. You won't be able to smoke on your porch either. You'll have to do it, like, in your basement under a sheet or something with a flashlight.
Right, because the secondhand smoke is such a concern, you know, in the vast atmosphere above me. You know,
yeah.
There's no way that's... But, you know, if a jet flies over, that's perfectly fine.
Well, yeah.
Or all the carbon dioxide... spewed from cars. Who cares about that?
Or if they go and do the controlled burns, you know, where they burn off the fields.
That's fine.
That's fine,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, definitely. But heaven forbid you have a little burning leaf. Oh, no, run. So, the governments are, I keep qualifying that.
Yes.
You know, trying to, you know, saying that, you know, you cannot do this and whatnot because it's bad for you. So then, why don't they do the same thing with SUVs?
Yeah.
Currently, I mean, with gas prices the way they are, people driving around SUVs, well, right now they say the main reason is because of refinery problems, because the price of a barrel is actually lower than it was, like, at the peaks in the last few summers, is like $64. So,
yeah.
Really, it should still be, like, well under $3 a gallon. But it's really high because apparently the demand is so high.
Even though it's not any higher than it was a year ago.
But, right.
You know,
but
that's fine.
If 33% of the vehicles on the road actually got like more than 20 miles of the gallon, wouldn't that help ease the pain?
You would think.
Okay, now, okay, Jones, you complained about secondhand smoke, right?
Hmm.
But you don't smoke.
I don't smoke.
And you don't go to bars.
I don't go to bars.
So how does the no smoking law help you?
And I also don't believe that they should ban it. And it's because, for that very reason, most people who don't smoke don't go to bars. It's a conscious choice. It's usually just not something that goes together for them. And mm-hmm. because they've banned smoking at bars, I still don't go to them.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. And that's why a lot of the downtown businesses here in Madison have been having all kinds of problems, because they lost a bunch of their clientele.
Well, the people that pass these laws, they don't... They don't go to bars. They're not bar owners. They're just trying to, you know, make Madison or whatever town to make it like New York, you know. We'll be sophisticated. And it's like, hello, you're in the middle of Wisconsin, you know.
Well, and the other big problem they do with that is they screw business owners over, too, because, you know, like Madison, for anybody who doesn't live in the Madison area or knows about it much, Madison's kind of been growing at a rapid rate over the last 15 years or so, and it's kind of started swallowing up these smaller communities around it. So we've got, like, little communities like Middleton, Monona, Fitchburg, mm-hmm. whatever, yeah. that are all blended into Madison now.
Right.
Well, the city of Madison banned smoking in bars, but...
The outlying cities, the suburbs.
Have not. And in some cases, you know, there's a bar in the city of Madison, and like mm-hmm. 2 blocks away, there's a bar in Monona, and so all the people can just shift over to that bar in Monona if they still want to smoke at the bar.
Well, that's... I was reading, they're talking about, like, you know, businesses in Madison degrading because... Well, I won't get into politics, but they're like how like Epic went to Verona because mm-hmm. it was better than going in Madison. And it's the same kind of thing where you try to like have too much control on your populace, they start to leave. And they start to like kind of, it's kind of like, you know, if you have a bunch of like germs eating at the middle of a petri dish, after all that's gone, they kind of spread out, and that's the suburbs, so to speak. So we're getting off topic, but basically, yeah all these people, you know, the politicians are, well, it's probably not politicians so much as special interests and like, you know, PTA mothers and stuff. There, we just pissed off a new group of people.
Yes!
Saying, this is bad. But the thing is, it doesn't affect a lot of people. Only people it affects, it doesn't help anyone, it just hurts people. It's just like, this is one less privilege or right that I have.
Yeah.
So now I can't go out and smoke in a bar with my friends. Okay, so then why do people have the privilege to drive these monstrous monstrosities around?
Yeah.
I mean, not only the fact, I mean, I could like, you know, quote like my socialist / Republican stepdad and say, I'm not grouping those two, but he's strangely both. And, and say, you know, they should ban those or put a luxury tax on it. He's just saying that because he can't afford one.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they are adversely affecting everyone by mm-hmm. consuming so much gasoline and making it more expensive. I mean, my car gets, like, pretty good gas mileage, and I didn't sell it because of it or get rid of it. I mean, cause but the thing is, it still costs me more money because other people choose to increase the demand.
Yeah.
So aren't they infringing on my rights to have a cheaper way of fuel? I mean, they are affecting me, and you don't go to bars, so
no.
the secondhand smoke laws and all that doesn't even affect you.
No.
But if a bunch of people want to drive their SUVs down the road, one person per SUV,
mm-hmm.
you know, like
which
15 miles a gallon or whatever, that affects you.
Yeah.
And nobody ever considers putting a stop to that, but it's a luxury, just like smoking is a luxury or something that you'd like to
do. Oh no, it's a right.
Oh.
You forget, these people say they have the right to buy these vehicles and all that.
People...
Which I would agree to a certain extent that, you know,
mm-hmm.
that we shouldn't go around having the government dictate to every extreme what people can buy, because
that's
ridiculous.
Well, they shouldn't, but that's the point of this podcast. If they're going to ban smoking, they should, like, ban other things like that, like SUVs.
Exactly.
In reality, they shouldn't ban anything.
Yes.
But since they're choosing to,
I
mean, we're saying, well, what's next?
Yeah,
or why don't you ban this instead?
Yeah. Because it has a bigger impact on society as a whole.
Right. I mean,
it affects the cost of goods in the stores.
Shipping.
You know, all your shipping, all that crap. It affects, you know, you driving to work each day.
People's ability to buy things in the economy.
Yeah.
Okay, like, if you're at a bar and I light up a cigarette next to you, does that take any money out of your pocket?
No.
Like, 30 million SUVs driving down the road, increasing the cost of gas. That takes money out of your pocket.
The only reason I could see where the government could ever be justified in these smoking bans and things is if we had a national health care system.
Yeah, that would be, yeah. That's
then
a good
I could
point.
See it. But with this other shit where we have no national health care, nothing else, it's just a bunch of people wanting to look like they're protecting people, even though they're not really doing anything at all. They say they're protecting the employees in most cases, but the funny thing was, you know, I read...
Have these people ever been to a bar? Every bartender smokes.
Yeah, I know.
See, well, that just proves they've never even been to a bar.
Well, the thing, too, was it was like 3 or 4 months after they implemented the ban in Madison, and we'll get back to SUVs soon. I just wanted to get this out there, because this is another justification they use for, you know, banning this stuff, and it's BS, is that 3 or 4 months after the ban was implemented, you know, and all these legislators and whatever are like, well, we're protecting the employees, you know, and their health and blah, 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 and all that. And I read this article, and they interviewed a bunch of these bar owners and everything downtown. Guess what happened? They had to let go of, like, half their staff in most cases. Like, there's one place that used to have, like, 2 cooks on staff. They had to go down to 1. They had to get rid of a couple of their waitresses because their business declined. They didn't have nearly as many people coming in. So people lost their jobs. And they interviewed people down there, too, and they're like, you know, I don't see why they did this crap because they're affecting my livelihood. It's like, they're like, I made the choice to work in this bar. I know it's going to be smoky and everything else. That's my choice. I don't need the government, you know, coming along and saying, yada, 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 you know. No, we're going to protect you.
Right.
But you're going to lose your job and, you know, go on welfare now because of us protecting you. You know?
Yeah, it's like, what would you rather have, $0 in a paycheck or breathe some smoke?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And, yeah, it's like this law makes people lose money.
Yeah.
And these are business, okay, oh, they're bars, they're evil. That's still a business that makes money and helps our economy.
Yeah.
And you know, it doesn't have to be a car factory or like a computer programming place.
Manufacturing company or whatever.
Just because it's not big business, it's still your economy.
Yeah.
So those are laws that take money away. Whereas you have SUVs running around pulling money out of everyone's pockets by increasing the demand.
Then
and nobody says a thing.
Yep.
That's fine.
And everybody would take that money and spend it into all these different areas of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just going into, like, these, you know, 5 oil companies that exist in the world. So it's, you know, to get back to our whole idea here, it's like, okay, so you're banning smoking, whatever. Okay, if you want to do that, then let's start looking at other crap that you can ban, too. Because we're going to be fair here, then. We're going to start banning all kinds of shit.
Right, exactly.
You know, and so with SUVs, it's like, well, one of the things with SUVs that gets them off the hook for their crappy mileage is the fact that they get to get classified as trucks, which, for whatever reason, our government has decided trucks can get shitty mileage compared to everything else, which, to a certain extent, I can kind of see.
Probably for industry.
Yeah, for industry, and that's the main thrust of it. But then, you run into things where, like, I have a Cadillac CTS. My mom has a Cadillac SRX. The SRX is basically like a tall wagon version of my car. It's built on the same platform, everything else, but Cadillac raised it up a few inches and made it so you can lay the seats down, flatten it, and so now it can be classified as a truck, and that thing gets 10 miles per gallon worse than what my car gets, because it weighs like 1,100 pounds more, and it's got all-wheel drive, and it's got a big V8 in it, where if that exception wasn't there that these manufacturers could exploit, then you'd see different things. You'd see that vehicle get 20-some miles per gallon instead of like 15 and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I don't blame the manufacturers, because the loopholes are in there, and the government isn't, you know, forcing the standards to change at all.
Well, those loopholes have probably been around for a while, haven't they?
Yeah. The fuel standards have not changed in, like, 20-some years. It was, like, in the early 80s the last time they changed.
Aren't they talking about actually changing, like, highway mileage sticker things on a car, like to reflect the fact that everyone drives around with their air conditioning on, for instance?
Yes, the, what is it? Is it the EPA?
Oh, and I'd like to thank all those people, too.
Yeah.
Yes, you can roll down your window, and God will give you an air conditioner and save you a few bucks.
God, why am I finding the wrong thing? I don't think it's the EPA that does it. It's some other
group
that does it. But
or is it? It's some sort of group.
Yeah,
they do that stuff.
They run, like, these specific tests on all that. And they had all these antiquated tests where, like, the old way they figured out your mileage was, like, the car would run at, like, 50 miles an hour for, mm-hmm. like, 15 minutes. Then it'd come to a stop, and it wouldn't have the air conditioning on. You know, there's mm-hmm. all this crap where it just totally out of step with the way cars are today. So now, finally, this year, they've changed what the rating is, and I think it's supposed to be effective on all 2008 model cars that come out, and now they've actually changed the tests, where now I think they bumped up the speed the car runs at to like 60 miles an hour or 65 for some period of time, and the air conditioning has to be running for a certain percentage of the test and all this stuff, and so now you'll probably see highway and city mileage ratings that will more accurately reflect real-world driving, but at the same time, you're going to see those fuel economy standards go down.
Well, however, though, if people see stickers that actually reflect the kind of mileage they'll get, they'll be less inclined to buy that car.
It could be.
You can hope.
Yeah.
I mean, a person could say, which is kind of our next topic, I mean, one thing about high fuel prices, it sucks, but I mean, if you want people to switch to a new kind of fuel, that's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, some companies can overcharge for products and people love it. Like Nintendo.
And
so
Apple.
The oil companies need to get Nintendo and Apple's marketing firms. So it'll be like, hey, what you doing there, hydrogen?
Yeah.
I'm just exploding like the Hindenburg. Oh, yeah, that's too bad. Well, yeah, I'm going to drive really fast and be available at every corner drugstore. I'm gasoline. I'm cool. I'm that one guy from The Daily Show. Yeah. Well, see ya. Like, everyone be like, wow, yeah, I guess it is worth $3.39 a gallon.
Yeah, that's a hell of a deal.
Yes. Unfortunately, what I just said is not too far off from how things work in the advertising world.
Yeah.
I guess our basic, another analogy we could bring up. I don't want to go too far into this one, though.
Okay.
What's one of the big reasons why people want to drive big SUVs?
Because they're safe.
Why do people want to have guns in their medicine drawers at home?
Because they make me safe at home. I can kill all those intruders that break into my home every other week.
Exactly. Okay, so, but one is regulated. You know, obviously there's a lot of gun laws and things. But another is completely unregulated. They're both unnecessary things you need to feel safe.
Yeah. And actually, SUVs have made most people on the roads less safe, I would say.
Right. If everyone drove a smaller cars would be safer.
Because now you have these Hummers and Escalades and Sequoias running around. And if they hit, you know, some guy running around in a damn Geo Metro,
mm-hmm.
the chances of that guy in the Geo Metro living are pretty damn low.
Exactly. So it's kind of like having a gun. It's only safe for the person holding it.
Yeah.
Another thing you'd say is, you know, gun laws, like, yeah, you can have a pistol, but, you know, you can't have a machine gun, right?
Hmm.
Well, couldn't we equate a pistol is like a car, a machine gun is an excessive thing, like an SUV?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, why have laws one place and not the other?
Yeah.
We're just drawing parallels. We're not trying to, you know, make a stand, even though obviously we have, we're thinking things in our minds, but of course we're kind of watering it down. So it's just something to think about. I mean, I don't know. You know, ever since gas went up past 3 again, you know, every time I drive anywhere, I secretly count in the back of my head the number of SUVs, only one person in them. And it's
When it was sad, it was yesterday.
Most of them.
Yesterday we came cruising into Madison. It was me and my wife. And both of us at about the same time noticed a Chevy Suburban at the stoplight. And they had the rear windows down, and I was like, oh my god, there's actually people in the back of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a little closer, and I'm like, wow, it's actually like a woman, and she's got two kids in the back seat. And I was like, in all seriousness, that's the first time I've seen an SUV with more than, at the most, two people in it in months. Usually it's just one person driving around in them.
And I mean, okay, maybe they fill it up with their kids, but when? I mean, I never see it.
Yeah.
But here's something for you.
We both have
four-door cars.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't we, in theory, put up to four people in those as well?
Oh, I don't know. I think you're pushing it there. And, you know, I think I could even put, like, some groceries and soccer balls and stuff.
Did you see that strange black thing on the top of my car? Did you ever see that thing?
No, I don't think I did.
I guess what you do is you take these, like, you take, like, animal sinew or, like, bungee cords, and you can actually strap things to the top of your car as well. You know, in case you got the inside of it too full of groceries and kids.
That's amazing. Who the hell thought of that?
I'm going to have to download the PDF to figure out how it works.
Yeah.
But, because I'm just so used to SUVs, I can't imagine, you know, actually, you know, making do with the space you have. But I just don't know. So, yeah. I think you do see slightly more cars on the road in the last few years because of the continual gas thing, but...
Yeah, there's, like, tons of those Toyota Priuses on the road, which...
I passed one just the other day going down for the shitty movie night or whatever it was we did.
Which aren't necessarily a small car, but they're a reasonably sized car, and they get good mileage, so...
Because they're hybrids.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, but yeah, I mean, you said that there's, like, what, a $1,500 tax credit if you buy a hybrid car?
It depends on the manufacturer. Like Toyota right now, theirs is like dropping because they've sold so many hybrids.
Mm-hmm.
But like I think all the other manufacturers that make hybrids, including like Honda, which is like the next most popular one, like if you get a Honda Civic Hybrid, and not to make like a commercial here or anything, because I'm a GM guy, but...
And I know you're waiting for a GM hybrid.
I know.
I knew it!
If they cranked one out, man,
isn't Chevy doing one?
They're supposed to be making a Malibu hybrid.
And there's a Ford... I know you're not a Ford guy, but the...
Escape.
Yeah, the Escape. Of course, it's a hybrid SUV, so it's like, it gets 28 miles of the gallon. It's like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, but at least that's a hell of a lot better than what the other ones.
But if it was a smaller car, it could be a hell of a lot better. I mean, what is a Prius, like 70 or something?
No, it gets real-world mileage of Prius, from everything I've ever read, is about 45. But still, that's like double what my car gets.
Yeah, but you could go buy a $5,000 2001 Geo Metro and get 45 miles of the gallon.
I know. Funny, huh? But it doesn't have all the, you know, power seats and the nav system and all the airbags and all that other crap, you know, that...
And I concede I wouldn't want to drive a three-cylinder car. I mean, four is a lot more than three.
Yeah. But, I like, mean, the Civic Hybrid, right now, it's based on mileage, but they have these tax credits and stuff, and, like, the Civic Hybrid, I think you can get, like, a $3,000 tax credit.
That's pretty good.
Which is a dollar-for-dollar return, not a deduction. Because a deduction, you just get, like, a percentage of that back. Where the credit, you get, like, the full $3,000 back is how it's supposed to work. So it's kind of like a $3,000 rebate that you get, like, next year when you do your taxes or whatever. Which
not
is pretty
bad.
Cool.
Not bad, and I'm sure...
And then, like, the Escape, I think it's, like, close to $2,000 you get back for that or something. You can go look... I can't remember the name of the site, but if you just look it up in Google or whatever, you can find that information out really quickly.
Hmm.
And the other fun thing with SUVs, because I like to hammer on SUVs, because I hate the goddamn
You've
things.
Hated them before gas was even expensive.
Yeah, I've
Remember
hated
Matrix
them
Matrix Revolutions?
For years.
You were so happy when that one got shot up.
Yes!
On the freeway.
Oh, God, that was awesome.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so I've hated them for years and years, but I don't begrudge the fact that some people can buy them, because I don't think it should be eliminated, but I think things can be done to make it better, but anyway.
Right.
One of the fun things with SUVs, too, another nice loophole in the tax codes and all that, which a lot of people exploit, especially like small business holders, business owners and things, is based on the weight rating of a vehicle, which, if I recall correctly, and I could be a little hazy on this, but it's based upon how much the vehicle weighs plus how much it can carry, so that's including occupants and payload and everything else. If it goes over... And I think they might have just bumped this up, but it was like 6,000 pounds, and I think now it's maybe like 6,500 they've changed it to. But if the vehicle gets over that 6,000-pound mark, a business owner can actually write off half the cost of that vehicle on their taxes.
Like it's a production vehicle, like a big truck.
Yeah. So like I know like things like my dentist, and I won't name names because he's a good guy, and I don't want to get into that, but my dentist has... It's either a Chevy Tahoe or a Chevy Suburban, and then he's got one of those Cadillac SRX things, and those both get over that threshold, and so he can actually write off the cost of those, half the cost of those vehicles against
Wait,
his business.
The year you buy it, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, that's a big write-off.
So it's like a huge, you know, incentive for people to buy bigger vehicles that get shittier mileage, and that's our government at work allowing that to happen.
Yeah, it's, I mean... They're probably doing it for a break for like truckers and stuff, but
yeah. But then it works as a loophole, though.
Yeah, exactly.
This other crap.
You know, I just can't get around the fact of any vehicle needing to weigh 6,000 pounds. All it has to do is get you down the road, because that's what, that's another thing we didn't even touch on. Well, you touched on the empty SUVs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just like, you know, grocery getting soccer moms. There's also a lot of guys that drive around huge trucks.
Yeah.
Fully loaded with air.
And no scratch in the bed of them, because they've never hauled a goddamn thing.
Yeah, that fucking shit. You know, like, or I hate that those Toyota ads where they got that Sam Elliott wannabe.
Yeah.
He's like, we got this truck. You can fill it full of manure and rocks. And then they take, like, a big fucking California redwood and, like, drop it in the back.
Yeah, drop it in.
Oh, give me a break.
It's like hell if that would ever happen.
These guys are like... Those people, they drive around like pussies, you know, like,
yeah.
Oh my god, this truck cost me so much fucking money, I can't get a scratch on it, my resale will go down, and then my wife will bitch me out. And,
yep.
Or they're driving through rocks and stuff in the commercials, or driving over, like, logs.
Well, and the things are always spotless when you see them, too, because the guys, like, run them through the car wash every 2 days. You know, it's like, I've got the sort of car that, you know, you would expect to be washed every couple days. I don't fucking do it. I do it, like, once a month, maybe, you know? These guys have got trucks, which are supposed to be, you know, heavy-duty, dumping rocks in the back, scratched up, beat up, worked hard.
Right.
These things look like a goddamn showroom vehicle.
And think about it, they're used as a vehicle, they're not used for utility, so it's a waste. Yeah.
But these are the people that always go, well, there's that one time or two out of the year where, you know, I'm gonna need a truck. So that's why I gotta have it. It's like, you know,
didn't
what?
Didn't we move everything in this apartment using Dale's, like, two-door Cherokee?
And my mom, or not my mom, my wife's
Vibe. And my station wagon.
Which gets 30-some miles per gallon. And your station wagon gets 30-some miles per gallon.
That's
you can
true.
Haul a lot of crap in those things. And strap stuff to the roof. And
I think, like, the big truck guys driving around kind of thing, I think that's kind of died down. Like, in the 90s, that was pretty bad. But
still pretty bad.
You know,
bad.
Driving around, listening to their Shania Twain albums, you know?
Yeah.
But that's a good point. I mean, it's not to be understated. I think the SUV thing is a worse problem.
Hmm.
I see more SUVs in the road than, like, big trucks.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you see, like, some big, like, extended crew cab.
And there's a guy wearing a suit driving it.
Yeah, and
I see
hauling
that
nothing.
Like,
yeah.
What?
You know, four doors is handy. You know, I need the room to put stuff in the back, you know. But, again, I mean, SUVs, you know, they're nice and comfortable. But is it really – I mean, even if you can afford the gas that your SUV takes, you're still affecting everyone else.
Yeah.
All right.
And,
well,
yeah, I don't need to have my car either. And actually
– well, your car is pretty nice.
Yeah, it's nice. It is. And it, I mean, it gets decent mileage for what it is. But, you know, I could, of course, do better, and I plan on it. Like, Chevy had a concept car called the Chevy Volt that they're talking about maybe building.
Let me guess. It's electric?
Yes. It's electric, and it has the capability to have a multitude of power sources as – so, like, depending on what type of engine you see, like – the way it's designed is like if, let's say, you had a hydrogen-powered, like, I don't know, I'm not good with
fuel
the terminology.
Cell?
Yeah, like fuel system or whatever. You could hook that up to it, and that would help supplement the electric features.
Is that
of
the
it.
One that's not supposed to come out for a couple of years, though? Yet?
Yeah, it's like 2010, and as a concept, and I really, everybody out there, if you give a crap about this stuff, contact GM, tell them, build that car, because it could get... They figured it out, and they said it could get, like, 120 miles per actual gallon of fuel because it can run for, like, 40 miles without ever having to turn on the fuel system. And then the fuel system kicks in and recharges the battery in a certain number of miles, and then the battery kicks back over and runs it. And
so it's like a super efficient hybrid.
Yeah, and all the wheels are run off, like, electric motors and everything. So
oh,
it's,
really?
Like, truly electric in that regard. So that's how it can achieve such awesome mileage numbers. And it actually looks cool, too. So I really hope they build that car, because I'll put money down on it when they actually start taking orders.
Okay, well, we might as well use that to segue into our next topic, which...
That's why I talked about it, because it works out nicely.
Yes. Hopefully we have enough time here, but I guess I can just edit it down. Yes, alternative fuels to gasoline. I would agree with the How Stuff Works article that gasoline will become too expensive before we ever run out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Look at it now already if it keeps
exactly.
going as it has been.
They're
the
not
going to
dig
years.
Up California. Apparently there's like shitloads of oil under California, but...
Is it all on like that sand and stuff or whatever, like up in the Dakotas?
Oh, the oil shoal thing?
Yeah.
No, it's something like, but you had to put an oil well in Beverly Hills or something like that. That's why it'll never happen.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so
Beverly Hills, put one in there.
Yeah. So, Yeah, they drive. They have. I bet they have a bunch of gas guzzlers.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
Right. So anyway, yeah, let's talk about some alternative fuels of the future. You have a little list here, and yeah, let's do that. And we should also talk about hybrids.
Yeah.
Okay, the first one you have written down here is not, well, it's already available. I've seen it at least in one place. E85. Jones, what is E85?
Well, for what I know of it, E85 is an ethanol-based fuel, which is basically 85% ethanol, and then 15% would be your typical fuel that you would put in your normal car.
And ethanol is an alcohol made from corn and plants,
corn,
I guess?
Corn and, like, switchgrass and all sorts of different crap, so...
But it's about 30% less efficient than gasoline?
Yeah. And only certain cars can run it. More and more are able to now.
Isn't it like you could put it in a car, but you're not supposed to?
Yeah, because they have to do... I can't remember all the things they had to do, but I think it's like something with they have to change like your fuel lines and things like that. There's a bunch of stuff they have to do with the engine to make it so it will work with it because of the fact that it's more alcohol-based. I guess it's something with, like, air, and, like, there's more air in the fuel, and so it can cause problems. I don't...
So you need less air coming into it?
Not less air, but it's, like, actually in the fuel lines and things, and so the fuel lines can, like, corrode and break down quicker.
Oh, because it can oxidize inside of it?
Yeah, that sort of stuff, yeah.
I did not know that.
So that's why there's only certain cars that can do it. And, like, I know GM and Ford have been making vehicles for actually quite a number of years now that are able to run E85, like, since the early part of the decade. So there's chances are that if you have, like, a 2002 or 2003 Chevy or Ford, you might be able to run it. And there's websites you can go and check to make sure.
That's interesting.
One of the problems with E85, though, right now, is that it's pretty much only really available in the Midwest, for the most part.
Yeah, I can't imagine why.
Yeah. And, like, I know I was looking into it more, like, last year, but at the time I went online and I was like, I wonder if there's any E85 stations in Madison, because Madison's a pretty good-sized town. We're in Wisconsin, we got corn and shit around. You'd think it'd be around. There were only, like, two gas stations in Madison that had it, and, I think there were, like, 800-some nationwide, and, like, almost 400 of them were in Minnesota.
Well, I guess it's right next to Iowa and North and South Dakota.
I almost wonder, though, I never looked into it, but I almost wonder if the state government there maybe had some sort of incentives, too, for using it, possibly. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of strange that 50% of the stations would be in that state. But that's speculation. I don't know for sure.
Well, you know, when they electrified America, I'm sure most of it was like, you know, in New York and Chicago.
Yeah.
It's got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
But don't you think if everyone started using E85 that food prices would skyrocket? Not just on corn and tortilla chips, but of course they use corn to feed cattle and other animals.
I will rephrase that question as, do I think that they should go up? I would say no. Would they go up? Probably yes, because the manufacturers would probably use the same sort of bullshit they use today to justify why gas prices are going up. Because they say, oh, we took these refineries down and stuff and blah, 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 and, you know, yeah, we're at war and all that, but, yeah, don't pay any attention to the fact that a year ago at this time the price per barrel of oil was $6 higher and your gas cost 70 cents less. But
think about that.
Yeah, don't think about that at all. You know, and I think they'd probably do the same sort of BS with this if E85 became prevalent, because the thing with E85 that nobody ever talks about, and maybe I'm just talking out of my ass, but I like to throw ideas out there, and with E85, you know, everybody always focuses on corn, and it's like, well, yeah, corn's a part of it, but they can use, like, this switchgrass and these other things.
Like garbage.
Yeah, that aren't necessarily aren't necessarily food-type items, you know. It's like Mr. Fusion in the Back to the Future movies.
Indeed.
To some extent. But the thing, too, is I look at with it is it's like, why couldn't, you know, we've got a lot of, you know, smart minds in this country, a lot of, you know, great scientists that are looking at this sort of stuff. Why wouldn't we be able to, like, genetically engineer corn or switchgrass or whatever that could grow, like, way faster and more dense that could be used for this sort of application because it wouldn't have to be fit for eating.
That's a good point.
That's why nobody ever talks about genetically engineering corn, because everybody gets all freaked out, oh, genetically engineered food, you know, it's not fit for consumption or whatever. And it's like, well, in this case, it wouldn't matter, because you're just going to fuel your vehicle, as long as it doesn't give off any, you know, nasty-ass emissions or anything.
That's a good point. Yeah,
and I would much rather be dependent on Brazil for my fuel.
I was going to say that.
Than the Middle East, which...
What about Venezuela?
I always try to go to a sit-go station to get my fuel.
Really?
I would rather give Venezuela my money than the Middle East.
Of course, but then, you know what, what else would happen? You know, the rainforest being chopped down?
That would get even worse.
Right, well, you know, people think they just chop it down to piss off Captain Planet, but they chop it down to make farmland.
Yeah, they chop it down to make more shit for us here in the U.S.
Right, but, I mean, that would affect that, too.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, America wastes a lot of food, too. So if we can waste that much food, why can't we convert some of our food to energy? That's one way of looking at it. But, yeah, you're right. It'll be like, yes, the price of tacos has skyrocketed today because of an increase of cars on the road using E85, blah, blah, blah. Give us money.
Yeah, just think about that. Like, every other day when you'd go to Taco Bell, like, the price of a goddamn gordita would go up by, like, 15 cents or something, you know?
Yeah, it would be like, a terrorist attack occurred in Brazil today, increasing the price of Doritos.
And you know it would happen.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to the next one. Hydrogen, a.k.a. the Hindenburg Exploder.
Yeah. Ugh.
The thing I think about hydrogen is, hydrogen is safe and it doesn't pollute, blah, blah, blah. However, you need shitloads of electricity to extract it
to
from water.
It,
yep. And where does that electricity come from? Coal-burning plants.
Because our entire economy is, you know, based on... You know, being able to have this fuel at certain prices, and it's, you know, in the most volatile part of the world is where, like, you know, 80% of it comes from or whatever. It's a pretty stupid policy, you know, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, it's playing with fire, and now we're getting burned.
Yeah.
Oh, there's some poetry.
But yeah, with hydrogen, hydrogen's like this fairy tale, I think, that the oil companies have cooked up to try to sell us on, because it's technology that's not really near us. You know, we hear about these things where, you know, GM and Honda have, like, hydrogen vehicles wandering around in New York City and L.A. today, you know, and, yeah, that's hunky-dory. That's fine. But as far as it getting to the point where it's going to be a mass-produced vehicle that's going to be affordable, that you or me or anybody else out there can buy, it's, like, 20 years away at best, because you got to put all this infrastructure in that doesn't exist. You know, good old Governator out there in California, he's doing his best to try to open hydrogen stations out there. But it's not going to happen anytime soon. And you know why the oil companies want us to switch to this stuff? Because then they can sell it to us still.
Well, it doesn't, you know, I think that's irrelevant. Because, well, I mean, it'll happen, but it's irrelevant to even, like, think of that as a negative. Because even if we had magical sunbeam energy, guess where it's going to come from? Shell, BP... You know, there's always going to be, you know, there'll be big hydrogen, big helium-3, big wind.
There'll be some big companies out there, you know, but the thing is, it's like, you know, right now today, there's a lot of entrepreneurs out there that are getting involved in these alternative methods, because for the most part, the big companies are trying to ignore them, but hydrogen's the one that they're embracing, because that's the one where they know they can control the market the easiest with it.
Because it's complicated?
Yeah, because it's something
that's
that you have to, like... have a lot of money to be able to produce in the first place. Where, like, solar energy, there's already things out there today where you can go and buy, like, even for camping and shit, you can buy these solar things that you take with you, and it'll power all your crap that you take along with
right.
you. And you can hook that up to your house, and you get all your energy from that and not even be on the frickin' grid. And so if you had an electric car, you could charge it off that. And sure, you'd have to pay somebody for the solar panels, but I'm willing to bet... over time, it would cost a lot less than
right.
paying fuel.
I agree with you, but to think of it as from a portable standpoint, even though I usually never mention portable devices on this podcast, which
are
going on my way, the major setback with a battery-powered car is the battery. I mean, obviously, electric motors can run a car.
Yeah.
The thing is...
The cost is in the batteries.
The cost is in the batteries, and, I mean, like, the best batteries you can get, you might get, like, 40 or 100 miles out of them, which should be enough for commuters, which is like 99% of all driving. But of course, people want more.
Yeah.
But so anyway, that's the major stumbling block. If there was a way to have like a high capacity energy charge in a car that also didn't weigh a lot, because, you know, even if you have an advanced lithium ion battery, it still has a lot of weight to it.
Yeah.
I mean, weight to energy ratio to gasoline is, I mean, gasoline blows it away.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think that's the big thing. I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, if we had like solar power, I mean, everybody wants fusion reactions, you know, like in Spider-Man
2. Yeah, which that's, you know, pie-in-the-sky shit.
Right, you know, we have a gigantic fusion reactor out in space.
Yep.
You know, it sends us free energy every day.
Yeah, it's like, here, take this crap. I don't
need it. Of course, solar cells are not, they're like a third of what they could be for efficiency, mm-hmm. but still, and they're expensive.
Yeah.
I think that's a big drawback. If there was a really good, like a super battery...
Yeah.
That would solve a lot of problems, because even like a Prius, I'm sure it's like, what is it? Is it even lithium ion or nickel metal?
I can't remember.
It's
for
not.
Sure
is it lead acid?
No, it's not lead acid.
Lead acid being a standard car battery.
But I know, like, I know the technology exists today that you could actually get your car, you know, depending on what your model is, you could actually get your car converted over to a. Using lithium-ion batteries and being electric-powered, and it would go about 300 miles, and it would cost you about $35,000 on top of what your car costs.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, which is a decent chunk of change, but still, it's getting closer to the point, you know, because like you mentioned earlier, and I mentioned this to my coworkers and stuff too, is, yeah, high gas prices suck, but that's the only way we're going to get away from gas, is by the price going up and people... At a certain point, people are going to revolt, and they're going to say, God damn it, I want something that doesn't cost me $5 a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, I mean, if it gets up to $5 a gallon...
Necessity is a mother of invention.
Yeah, and it would cost me, you know, it'd cost me like $85 to fill my car up. And I know I'm not making that much more in raises each year.
Nope.
You know, so that money's got to come from somewhere. And so that's what will drive things like, you know, lithium-ion batteries... Their price will inevitably start to come down because there'll be more demand for them, more facilities will be built to crank them out.
As long as they're not made by Sony, you'd have a lot of exploding
cars.
Well, yeah,
cars that'd, be, that'd be bad news.
Sorry, Sony.
Nobody wants that, but you know, it's definitely out there, and I don't know, I just think hydrogen is just kind of this fantasy technology that's out there, and
you
yeah,
really,
it's
you read
possible.
A lot about it, though, but...
Yeah, and I think that's just because, you know, the companies... You know, the companies that are pushing hydrogen have a lot of money, so of course they can make sure it's out there all the time, because then people today are, you know, suffering through their $3.30 gas or whatever the
right.
hell it is, you know, and they could be like, oh, well, these companies are working on hydrogen, you know, and after just a few more years, you know, we're going to be able to drive hydrogen cars, and they keep saying, you know, it's
right.
just a few years away, but...
Just like fusion.
Yeah, it's always just a few years away, you know, and it's just...
That's
absurd.
True, whereas... Electricity, that grid is already in place, and it's completely different companies. It's all local companies.
Yeah. And they've already built electric cars before. Hell, 100 years ago, they built electric
cars.
Oh,
yeah, exactly.
You know, and GM...
It's just
and,
the battery capacitance. That's the main problem.
Yeah. And GM had one 10 years ago that was sporty.
Oh, that EV thing?
Yeah, the EV thing. And it got, you know... It would go like, what was it, 120 miles on a charge,
mm-hmm.
which that's more than capable of covering, you know, the majority of people's daily commutes. I mean, it would cover mine, you know, multiple days without any
Of course,
trouble.
You got to think about sitting in traffic, though.
I know, yeah.
But still, it would cover it, yeah.
I mean, for most
you
people...
You could plug it in when
cover.
You got to work.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's... You know, this stuff exists, it has been out there before, and it's just a matter of people demanding that it comes back, basically,
mm-hmm.
because... Obviously, these companies can make what we want. We just have to say that we want it.
Right, right.
And I think the big problem with all this alternative fuel shit is that people want this silver bullet magic solution that's just going to drop out of the sky. You know, like people think, oh yeah, hydrogen's going to fix everything. And I don't think we're going to find one thing that's going to fix it. I think it's going to be a combination of all this stuff. You know, you're going to have E85, and let's say maybe, you know, 10 years from now... 10% of the vehicles on the road are running E85, or 15%, and then there maybe we've got hydrogen out there by then, and like 5% of the cars are running that, and, you know, then you got your biodiesel or whatever, and, you know, 10% are running that. All that stuff will lower the amount of, you know, regular old fuel that we get at the pump today that's being burned up, because there you took away, you know, like 30% of vehicles, except for like the E85 vehicles still use 15% of it. but it's going to greatly decrease that demand. Although at the same time, you know, you've got China coming up that they're buying more and more vehicles now and consuming a great deal more of it.
But on the same token, you know, you talked about solar power. There's also wind power.
Yeah.
Other sources of, you know, electric power, waterfalls, blah, blah, blah. At least that's already, like, the whole universe is in motion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we should just hitch onto that
start
a little bit more than we are.
Start harnessing what's already there more.
Right. Instead of, like, you know, this obsession with, you know, blowing up things and creating energy that way.
Yeah.
Even coal is that way to an extent. Oh, okay. Well, we should probably wrap this up pretty soon. You have biodiesel on here? What's biodiesel?
I don't know. That's like this crap where, like, people, you know, can take, like, the shit that McDonald's throws out from the fry vat and they can, like, run it through their car.
They
and...
did that on Mythbusters one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they took used grease and they put it right in, and it ran, no modifications.
And it will work for a time that way.
Until it gunks up your engine.
Because eventually, you know, over time, because those engines aren't built to, you know, run off that stuff for extended mm-hmm. periods of time, it might work for a couple of years or something, you know, but you know, there's ways that they can make that better so it's more standard, I guess you could say.
But then
refine
won't
it or
won't
whatever.
The price of French fries skyrocket?
I'm sure it would, especially if we had E85 out there too. You know?
So until next time, happy alternative fueling.
Yeah, and you know, write your manufacturers and demand more efficient vehicles.
And buy them.
And buy them.
Because your dollars will speak a lot louder than a piece of paper.
That's right.
Hi, this is Ben Heckendorn here. I've secretly snuck into a Walmart, posing as one of the employees, so I can have a chance to interview the authentic Joe Sixpack as he's searching for games. Oh, here he comes now. Hello, sir. Welcome to Walmart, the finest reseller of video game systems in all the world, possibly the universe. How can I help you?
Yeah, I need a video game system to shut my kids up.
To shit your kids up?
To shut my kids up.
Oh, okay, I get it. All right, well, have you tried...
Bastards won't stop talking about, I don't know, it was Wii or something. I don't know what the hell's going on.
So your kids want to play with their Wii?
I don't know.
Okay, well, what kind of game system would you like?
Something cheap.
Okay, well, you know what you could do? You could, you know, go out in the field and like, grab a pile of manure and let your kids play with that.
I tried that already. They ain't falling for it. They want something like the rest of the kids at school have. I don't know. I'm too busy drinking and watching NASCAR to pay much attention. I know they want something. It's got paddles or whatnot. I don't know.
In this decade, unlike the 70s, we call them controllers.
Huh. Whatever. I need at least two of them.
All right.
As long as they're cheap.
Okay, cheap it is, sir. Let's walk over to this cabinet. Okay, here we have a 10-year-old PS1. It's only $40, but it's kind of primitive.
I don't care. Will it keep the little bastards out of trouble?
Well, I don't know. It is possible that, you know, obviously your kids are, you know, probably smarter than you are, and they might realize what a piece of junk this is and the fact that you are a big cheapskate who's trying to save all his money to get an extra case of PBR. So you might want to move up to a PS2.
Hmm. All right. How much is that?
That's $129.
And why what makes it three times better than the PS1?
Well, it's at least two times better because one times two is two.
Brilliant.
All right, so have you considered an Xbox 360? It's only $400.
No, I don't need that shit. I need something cheap that'll shut them up and keep them out of my hair so I can go back to drinking Grain Belt, watching NASCAR, maybe a little wrestling.
Well, you know, you could go over to the sporting goods department, just get some duct tape. I mean, that's cheap. And
I tried that already. They figured out how to take that off.
Oh, okay. Well, So you're probably not interested in a PS3 then. It's only $600.
Why the hell is it $600?
Well, I mean, okay, you say you're a Grain Belt guy, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I like chunks of shit floating in my beer. Let you know you're doing something.
Okay, well, Grain Belt is one kind of beer. Let's say Grain Belt is the PS2 and
right. With you so far.
Right, and the PS3 is like a fine champagne from France.
I think I had that at my wedding.
Ah, okay.
It's got a bad association.
All right. Well, so you just need a cheap system with some good paddles. Well, why do you call them paddles?
I don't know. So I could paddle my kids with them?
Oh, yeah, that's kind of frowned upon in this day and age, isn't it?
Eh, whatever. Human services takes them away from me. They'd be doing me a favor.
Indeed. Well, tell you what, how about you just buy this PS2 here and get the hell out of my sight?
Wasn't the PS1 cheaper? Give me that. I don't care.
All right.
Doesn't that have Does that have Mario?
Oh,
I know the word Mario. The kids won't stop saying that.
No, for Mario, you're either going to have to get a Game Boy or the Nintendo Wii. It's pronounced Wii. You know, like when you drink a bunch of PBR and have to take a leak?
That is the dumbest name I've ever heard.
Okay. Well, you can get the Wii for $250 or a Game Boy, which will probably break in a week, for $100. What do you think?
I guess I'll go with the Game Boy.
All right.
You sure that they don't make Mario for the PS1?
I'm pretty sure. You see, there's I'm not even going to try to explain it. You're probably drunk anyway.
I don't even care.
All right, well, thank you for purchasing this Game Boy system, and we hope to see you again soon at your local area Walmart.
Yeah. Where's the beer aisle?